Well, everybody is talking about just how lucky this country was on Christmas Day when we missed, apparently by an extraordinarily narrow margin, and perhaps a fluke more than anything else, a catastrophe in the skies over Detroit. That's when the would-be bomber of that jetliner didn't manage to explode the chemicals that he had managed to smuggle aboard. It took the President of the United States 2 days to break from his Hawaiian vacation and to say something about it, and he's had plenty to say since then. But what have we learned? Well, this morning in the Boston Globe, writing his op-ed opinion piece, columnist Jeff Jacoby says it's a wake-up call from Flight 253, and he's with us on WBZ. Jeff, let me ask you first of all about the fact that the president declines to use the phrase, for whatever reason, war on terror that the Bush administration used. And today, Dick Cheney is saying this is a perfect example of why this country is less safe, because we are at war and the administration ought to confront that.
I think the former vice president is absolutely right, Ed. We are at war. We've been at war for longer than since 9/11. In fact, you could argue that the war against Americans from radical Islamists goes all the way back to the Tehran embassy takeover in 1979, but clearly since 9/11, it should be evident to everyone that there is a worldwide violent jihad that's being waged against us and that we have to win. And the notion that by somehow changing our language, by not using terms like jihad or terms like war on terror, we're somehow going to win the goodwill of the people who are trying to defeat us, I think is very short-sighted. I don't think it's a coincidence that the past year, the year since President Obama has taken office, has seen a surge in what experts call terrorism events, threats, plots, and, in fact, acts of terror on American soil. This is a real war, and we've got to stop treating it as though it's simply a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. You also, Jeff, write that the terrorists are clever and can adapt as we develop one particular security measure. They're able to work around it.
This is one of the most frustrating things to millions of air travelers. Because the 9/11 hijackers used box cutters, the response was to bar knives and sharp objects from your carry-on luggage. So the next thing we saw was that there was the attempt by the shoe bomber to figure out a way to use his shoe to transport explosives. Now everybody has to take their shoes off. Then you had the Heathrow plot in 2006 where they were going to blow up airplanes over the Atlantic Ocean using liquid explosives. So now we all have to have the little plastic bags with tiny amounts of liquids. Every time a terrorist attempt has been made, the reaction by American air security has been to ban that particular thing. But terrorists, like any kind of intelligent criminal, can always find a way to adapt to new restrictions or to new restraints. The focus has to stop being so obsessive with the search for bad things and to start focusing instead on looking for bad people. And I would say that with regard to what happened over Detroit last week, if that had been our focus, if we had been less concerned about making people take their shoes off and more concerned with looking for warning signs of people who might be dangerous, then all of those red flags that this guy was sending up probably wouldn't have been missed.
Mm-hmm. You also write, Jeff Jacoby of the Globe, that we have to disabuse ourselves of the conclusion that a lot of terrorists attack this country out of their socioeconomic background and frustration with the poverty in which they were raised. And you point out, for example, that the man in this case, and there's very little doubt that, I mean, people want to call him a suspect, but let's face it, this guy's underwear was on fire as he
right.
tried to light it up. He was about as benign as the shoe bomber Richard Reed was, who was caught in the act as well. This guy grew up as a youth of privilege. His father is an extraordinarily wealthy retired banker who lives in the city of London. This kid went to school there as well as overseas. Major Nidal Hassan, whom the president has refused to say is a terrorist, but who, as he was opening fire on his fellow soldiers at Fort Hood in Texas, used the phrase Allah Akbar, God is great, which is a clarion call, a rallying cry of terrorists and those sorts of activities, was a United States Army officer who had a medical degree. This doesn't fit what we have as sort of the old stereotype of who a terrorist is, the guy who has nothing to live for anymore, who lives in Palestine.
And the ultimate example, of course, is Osama bin Laden, who comes from a family of billionaires who could have led a life of luxury and instead chose to lead this life as the the conductor of a worldwide jihad. We've seen it over and over again. The 9/11 hijackers had college degrees. They came from solid middle-class backgrounds. And as you say, this guy now, Farouk Abdullah Mutallab, came from a very wealthy Nigerian family. His father was a prominent banker and a member of the government. This guy went to a prominent university in England, could have lived a life of luxury, had doors open to him everywhere. The reason jihadists go into this worldwide attack against what they think of as infidels is not because they've got economic distress, not because they don't have opportunity. It's because they are true believers. They are true believers in this twisted, perverted notion of radical Islam, the idea that they're going to bring the whole world, including America, including the West, under the control of Sharia, of Islamic law. They genuinely believe it. And the more we keep trying to bamboozle ourselves into thinking that if only we find the right terms to use, or if only we make nice speeches to them from Cairo, or if only we invest, find investments to sink money into in the Arab world, then they'll be our friends. The longer we prolong the war, they're in it because they believe in what they're doing. We have to recognize that and confront them at this level of ideas and ideology, as well as militarily.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have the wake-up call of Flight 253. What do we do? How do we confront them militarily? What sort of message do we bring to these fanatics?
I think step number one is to acknowledge this is a genuine war that we're in. Richard Holbrooke, who's a top Democratic voice in the foreign policy establishment, said a few years ago, you know, we talk about the war on terror, but that's just war is being used as a metaphor. Well, it should be clear by now, war is not being used as a metaphor. This may not be a war fought against us by, you know, an army of people in uniform and serried ranks, with tanks and an air force, but it's nevertheless a very real war. And the only way wars end is when one side wins and one side loses. So number one, we have to acknowledge that we're at war and make it a national priority to win this war. Number two, there's no reason for our air security to be as porous and inadequate as it is now. You know, anybody who has ever flown out of Israel's airport in Tel Aviv knows they don't make you take your shoes off. You don't have to put your liquids in little bags. And yet Israel's airport is renowned as the safest in the world. What they do differently there, and what we should be doing much more of over here, is interviewing every passenger before the flight begins. They're aware of you from the moment you come onto the airport's grounds. They talk to you. They know what they're looking for. So that's number two. Number three, we have to get over our squeamishness about ethnic and religious and ideological profiling. For the most commendable of reasons, Americans don't like to even think that that could be something that the government should take notice of in deciding who's safe or who's not. But it's unrealistic. As you know, we all know that, of course, not every Muslim is a terrorist, not by a long shot. But it's also true that so far every terrorist in this war on terrorism that we've been fighting mm-hmm. has been a radical Muslim.
Sure.
That's what we should be screening for, and there needs to be a way to incorporate this into our airport security procedures.
And finally, Jeff Jacoby of The Globe, and again, the piece is The Wake-Up Call from Flight 253 on the op-ed page of this morning's Boston Globe. What about accountability on this side of the Atlantic? And I'm referring to what has been said and done, or not done, by Janet Napolitano, the head of Homeland Security. She's still on the job. Should that change?
I have to admit, I never understood why she was made Secretary of Homeland Security in the first place. There was nothing in her background that showed any particular awareness or competence in that field. The tradition in other countries is when there's been a major screw-up, the person at the top resigns. And, you know, it happens in cabinet agencies. It happens, prime ministers step down from office. Her performance was so bad. The only thing that I would think that there might be to be said in her defense is that the president's performance was even worse, that it took him days before he even came out and made a statement, and then that statement was so widely regarded as inadequate that he had to come back again yesterday, to promise that there would be even more follow-up and more vigilance. Obviously, in the wake of any kind of attack or even an attempted attack that was as near a miss as this one, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing. And I don't, I'm not surprised to see Republicans jumping to try to score some points. I think it's less a question of whether Napolitano needs to resign or whether there needs to be a political price paid as whether or not this wake-up call will be heeded. Policies need to be changed in the Obama administration. The notion that The war on terror was a bad dream of the Bush-Cheney administration that we all woke up from on January 20th of this year is foolish. And they need to get over that delusion and go back to the recognition this country is in a genuine war with enemies who mean to destroy us. Our job is to destroy them first.